Now, later today, the Northern Ireland manager, Michael O'Neill, will get a chance to explain comments he's reported to have made about the Republic of Ireland poaching young Catholic players from Northern Ireland, and by doing so, having a sectarian approach. The suggestion being they don't seem to try to poach the Protestant players. Now, this led to a week of debate last week, and when I touched on it again on Friday, I said this actually as part of a conversation with the sports writer Stephen Beacom. Paddy McCourt is a great example of someone from Derry who, you know, really gave his all for Northern Ireland and became an absolute favourite on the field of play. And Niall McGinn, Dunnock Moore man, of course, both lads coming from really from GA backgrounds too. So, you know, it's not like as if, you know, it's going to be better playing for the Republic. Trust me, lads, if you're young now, if you're 14, 15 years of age, if you've got the skills, the qualities and the abilities and you're looking to play international football, play it for us, play it for Northern Ireland. That's an invitation and a half, that's what I call that. Now, Sinn Féin Senator and former Lord Mayor Niall O'Donoghue wasn't happy, or at least someone who contacted him wasn't happy, because he said on Twitter, someone just told me Frank Mitchell on radio appealed to young people here to only play for Northern Ireland in soccer and not declare for Ireland. But I struggle to believe that UTV would allow a presenter to adopt such a partisan position running contrary to the Good Friday Agreement. No chance, right? Question mark. One minor point. I work for Wireless Group doing the radio, formerly owned by UTV. That is a minor point. And let me speak to Niall O'Donoghue, who's agreed to come on the programme to have a conversation. Niall, good morning.
Morning, Frank. How are you?
Apologies for the
wee error there. I appreciate that you corrected that.
Yeah, that's no problem, Niall. That's no problem. Niall, when it comes to the Good Friday Agreement, where in the Good Friday Agreement does it state that a broadcaster from Northern Ireland can't support Northern Ireland and issue a welcome to all young players to play for Northern Ireland?
Yeah, well, a couple of things, Frank, just to, I think, properly contextualise the debate so far, because since you and I engaged on Twitter over the course of the weekend, there has been a lot of noise generated around our engagement, which probably, to be fair, isn't accurately reflective of what you and I have said to each other. So, firstly, you're certainly not in my firing lane, and you're certainly not in my firing lane for supporting Northern Ireland and being an avid follower of that team. That's entirely, as I said, a matter for you and more power to your elbow as you participate in that. I suppose the issue for me and probably a broad section of our society is the presumption that we should tell young people to declare for a particular side, knowing and appreciating full well the very deep-rooted sensitivities that exist around the issue of national identity and culture and everything else. So I think what we should probably be doing, and certainly what I would be doing, is that I would encourage people, first of all, to get involved in sport, because I think that's beneficial for them and for their communities. But secondly, what I would be saying to young people is play for who you want to play for who you feel most comfortable with, play for who you feel reflects you and also represents you, and you in turn can appropriately and to the best of your ability and hopefully very, very well represent them on the international field of play, regardless of who that is. So whether it's a young boy who dreams of going to the Aviva and scoring for Ireland, or whether it's somebody who dreams of going to a young boy or a young girl, I should say, going to Windsor Park and scoring for Northern Ireland, then good luck.
Well, just on that, Niall, because, you know, that's pretty wide what you've said and is incredibly diplomatic the way you have put it. But for the entire weekend, I've been plagued by people on Twitter because you said you struggle that my employer would allow a presenter to adopt such a partisan position running contrary to the Good Friday Agreement. Like, how on earth are you linking this to the Good Friday Agreement?
Well, because obviously the Good Friday Agreement enshrines in law and affords us the right to adopt our Irish citizenship, a British citizenship, or both. And I think it's important to say too.
Of course it does, but remember what I did. I invited talented young players to play for Northern Ireland, the team that I support. I said, come, the welcome is there for you. And you're criticising me, and a huge number of people from Sinn Féin have criticised me for issuing that welcome.
Frank, well, I'm criticising you on what I believe is a fairly steady, safe political point, because there's politics implied in what you said, whether you like it or not. That's the nature of our society, and I would make this point to you as well. I have also been plagued by a lot of people on Twitter over the weekend. I'm sure you've seen some of them because you've been tagged in them as well. People referring to me and my views. So if we're all for freedom of expression, then let's all be for freedom of expression, referring to my views as a disease. I don't believe that's the case at all. I believe I made them very respectfully. I believe I made them in concert with the Good Friday Agreement and the rights that it affords us. So I'm not looking to have a row or a barney with you or with anyone else. I actually believe that when there are these issues of contention around national identity and the rights of young people to ultimately adopt the team that they want to play for, then we should have those discussions. We should have those discussions. But my view fundamentally, and it's one that we can agree to disagree on, and Sinead, if that's the case, is that if you were inviting young people to come and play for Northern Ireland, then alternatively, you should have said in the same sentence or the same breath, but if not, and you want to play for Ireland, that's perfectly fine. Because we've seen young people who have declared for Ireland subjected. I mean, if you think we got a bad over the weekend, just reflect back on some of the absolute abuse and threats and horrible sectarianism that has been inflicted upon people who have made the decision simply to play for Ireland 20 years after the Good Friday Agreement. That shouldn't be a bone of contention. That shouldn't be up for debate, regardless of what team young people are declaring for. That should just be a matter of fact. And that's why I think so many people were surprised and shocked, and a number of people have told me they were actually quite offended by Michael O'Neill's initial remarks last week, which initiated all of this.
Yeah, whatever Michael O'Neill said will be discussed later today whenever Michael O'Neill has the opportunity to meet the press. But just to get back to what I was saying, and, you know, at no point would I be suggesting that it wouldn't be appropriate for a youngster from Northern Ireland to play for the Republic of Ireland. I am simply using my platform to issue the warmest of invitations for our youngsters to play for the team that I support. Now, and you can't really
let me put this to you.
Because you can't really have it two ways. There's been a considerable number of years when I did go to Windsor Park, where it was a cold place for someone from a Catholic background. It was a cold place for someone from a GAA background. I listened to the chanting, was disgusted, but I still loved the football, so I still went. However, a considerable amount of progress has been made, an amazing amount of progress, award-winning progress has been made at Windsor Park to make it a family occasion when there's an international match there. And I encourage people to come. And I'm now encouraging people to come because of the progress that has been made. You would have had a very good argument maybe back in the 80s for people not to go. But now that they've corrected that, you're still arguing that young people shouldn't play for Northern Ireland. Or that I shouldn't invite them to play for Northern Ireland.
No, sorry, but I mean, I haven't said that, Frank. You're entitled to go and support them as is anyone else. When I was in Belfast City Hall, I was the seconder for a proposal that the Belfast City Council host a joint civic reception for the Northern Ireland and Ireland teams when they qualified for the Euros, because I respect that there is a diversity of opinion and competing and different allegiances here, and that's the society in which we live. So the favour I was going to ask you to do was that you might extend the same welcome and the same invite to young people to play for Ireland as well, because I think that's relatively straightforward, I would have thought. But listen,
let me be totally clear with that. If a youngster wants to play for the Republic of Ireland, the best of luck to him or her. Of course they can play for the Republic of Ireland, but I'm speaking as a football fan. I want the Northern Ireland team to be as strong as possible. The only way we can be as strong as possible, if all that talent that's coming through at under-15, under-17, under-19 level actually plays at senior level for Northern Ireland. So, like, do you think it's right that we should have players nurtured through the teenage system under the IFA, under the Northern Irish Code, and then taken away by the Southern Irish, by the FAI? Do you think that's sporting?
Well, I mean, again, we have to be careful around our language. They haven't been taken away, Frank. They haven't been taken away. But I appreciate the point you're trying to make.
And in terms of the football, they've been taken away.
But I understand, and I'm going to come to that. I understand entirely why the IFA and coaches and people who invest in young people would be frustrated. I mean, I'm not stupid. I get that. I understand that at a personal and probably a corporate level, that's frustrating. I would actually contest what you said there earlier in relation to the best that we can be. I actually believe that the best that we can be is if we had an All-Ireland team that was like our soccer team, like our rugby team,
and everything else. So in terms of, I spoke over the course of the weekend, not least when you and I were talking on Twitter about, yes, there has been moves made in terms of the IFA. But Windsor Park still remains a cool place for some people, and there's still a bit of work to do. And I think we have to acknowledge that. I think we'll have to reflect on that and admit that in order for us to face up to it. It wouldn't be a very warm house for James McLean and people who support him or support the Irish soccer squad when you hear chants like when you hear James McLean clap your hand, or things about the RAF from Ulster, or things about Kyle Lafferty playing the flute. So we still have some way to go. That's not to say there hasn't been moves made, and I'll do whatever I can to acknowledge that. But we still have a way to go. So let's.
But just on that, because I go to Windsor Park and it's an incredibly comfortable experience for me and for other families that go to it. I've been at the Aviva, and there's some chanting happens at the Aviva, but it never takes away from the experience of the Aviva, because it is an exceptional place to be. How many more steps do you need the IFA to take before Niall O'Donnell would set foot in Windsor Park? A former Lord Mayor of our city.
Well, I've been in Windsor Park, Frank, but I mean,
For an international game, what does it take to get you to go to an international match to support a team of footballers in Belfast?
Well, ultimately, again, because of our age, we would have to do away with what I've just literally listed there a couple of seconds ago. But I mean, what we have to accept and what we have to face up to is that, like you support Northern Ireland, I don't want to see them, you know, any ill will. I don't waste them any ill will, and, you know, I waste them all the very best in terms of their sporting endeavours. But, you know,
if whatever chanting about the flute was done away with, or if there were a few words taken out of, say, RAF from Ulster or whatever, would you go at that point?
Well, it's not a matter of whether I would go or not. There's a difference between going and there's a difference between supporting the team. I mean, the team isn't reflective of me. It isn't reflective of young nationalists and young Irish citizens in the north when you have to go and observe God Save the Queen and play under the old flag of the one-party Stormont. So that wouldn't be reflective of a huge proportion of our society. And I understand why, for young people who might be from the Bogside or Lurgan or the Falls Road or the Short Strand, that they don't see themselves in that. So why would they want to represent a team or an entity that doesn't represent them or appreciate or respect them and their cultural identity and where they're coming from now?
So just on the back of that, because that's an important point you make. So just on the back of that, because the anthem is a problem to you. If you're at the Antrim hurling final this year, at Corrigan Park, for instance, and Rossa are playing St John's, and you're there.
Big match.
Most likely, the Irish national anthem will be played, and the flag will be flown. Do you think unionists would feel comfortable with that? Now, we want to be all embracing with the GAA. So, if we're going to sideline the national anthem at Windsor, are you prepared to sideline the national anthem at Gaelic sports events?
Well, I would say this, Frank. I'm not saying that anyone should say, you asked me the question, what could be done? I mean, Northern Ireland is Northern Ireland. It represents that entity. It represents those six counties. So therefore, it can't inherently represent those of us who have a national perspective on Ireland and see Ireland within the context and the entirety of the Irish nation. So in terms of, I mean, thing around or on the vein and a potential GAA match, ultimately the only people that can answer that is the flip of what I have said to you, is a unionist or someone from that background going to Corrigan Park to watch the match.
Yeah, but can we not go to both? That's the point I'm making. Can I not go to Windsor Park? Could you not go to Windsor Park, hear God Save the Queen, and go to Corrigan and hear the soldiers' song? Are we not mature enough in 2018 to do both now?
Frank, but you see, because here's the point, here's the crux of it. At no stage have I said you can't do that, or anyone else can't do that if they so wish. This is about the kind of language that we use, the positions that we adopt, whether that's Michael O'Neill's initial, I think, ill-tempered remarks, or indeed taking the issue that I took with solely inviting or encouraging young people to play for one side. When we know that there are issues of contention around national identity, and that we should be, I'm not saying we'll have to be sanitized about it. I mean, I have done enough work with colleagues from a unionist and loyalist background here in East Belfast to actually ultimately come to the conclusion that we need to respect each other's differences and accept them. So what I'm saying is here that if we are going to make universal statements and talk in general terms about coming to play for us, and you have clarified your position on that, and that's fair enough, we need to accept that there's a big part of our society here, because it is a contested society, who don't fall within that category, who have a different allegiance, who have a different view and have a different mindset. So all I'm saying is, and my point is, that when we are making those kinds of statements and when we have positions like you and I have, then we should be considerate and reflective of the fact that our society isn't, monolithic.
One final question to you. Is Paddy McCourt any less Irish, or Niall McGinn any less Irish for playing for Northern Ireland?
No. I've met Niall McGinn. That's not my view, but that's their decision. That's ultimately their choice. They made a choice that was best suited for them at the time, and I'm sure what they felt was best suited for their careers in football. Other people take a different view and have a different allegiance and have a different view of the world and want to go a different way, and equally that should be respected. They should be free to do so, and they shouldn't be subjected to either chants in a terrace or newspaper columns attacking them, or figures within very eminent figures within sport like Michael O'Neill calling those players, because I think Martin O'Neill clarified during the week that he actually hasn't taken any senior players off Michael O'Neill. It's actually been the reverse. It's been the other way around. And that's fair enough too. So we just, I don't know the rationale for last weekend. I don't quite understand it. As I say, I think it was ill-tempered, pretty poorly considered from Michael O'Neill. But perhaps he'll clarify that later in the day.
But do you not think if we followed through on what you would like, we would have a Protestant team for Protestant fans in Northern Ireland and nothing other than that?
No, because you've just said that there's Niall McGinn and others. What I'm saying,
yes,
is,
but if we didn't have the Niall McGinns accepting my invitation, the Paddy McCourts accepting my invitation, the Michael McGoverns accepting my invitation, if we didn't have those players in the future, we'd end up with a Protestant team for Protestant people.
Well, Frank, to be fair, I don't think your invitation had anything to do with them boys playing for the team.
But I'm talking about the Niall McGinns of the future.
Yeah, no, but listen, I don't believe that. Well, the resolution for me is quite simple. As I said, I think Ireland works best when it works together, and that has been proven on the rugby pitch over the course of the weekend, and please God will be proven further come St. Patrick's Day. So that would be my first offered up solution to stop that notion that you've put forward there. The second would be that the FAI should organise and scout and recruit young children in the north at the earliest possible level, and give them the opportunity to say it at the earliest possible level, and stop the kind of hostility and indeed the kind of legitimate frustration from coaches in the IFA who have invested in kids. So if the FAI were to, and look, listen, both organisations can speak for themselves. I'm conscious that we're several steps removed from them. I wanted to focus in on the broader issue of identity and competing identities and diversity here. But if the FAI were to organise and equally the IFA, then I imagine that would solve an awful lot of the problems at the earliest point, to stop the kind of contention that you have outlined.
And just finally, because it's in the front of the Belfast Telegraph today, and the headline goes, Republicans target another broadcaster over football remarks. Now Sinn Féin rounds on U105's Frank Mitchell show this after the row about them rounding, or apparently rounding on the Nolan show. Is there an agenda within Sinn Féin to censor the media, especially phone-in programmes?
What do you reckon, Frank? I mean, isn't that just mad? That's actually the front page of a daily newspaper. Look, you and I had an engagement on Twitter. That's the purpose of Twitter. It's a social media platform. You know, it's a platform to engage and discuss with each other. I think you and I both done that in a very respectable way. As I say, others jumped on the bandwagon and started butting in and were less than savoury in terms of their own contributions. But listen, I mean, it's a nonsense. If there was a boycott or a targeting or whatever else, then I wouldn't be here talking to you this morning. So I think that's a nonsense. You can't on one hand argue that
daily phone-in shows and radio platforms like your own offer people a place to express themselves and discuss. And by the way, I believe that they do. They have a very important role. But then on the same hand say, but, oh God, you know, elected representatives can't express an opinion or challenge an opinion or counter an opinion when it's articulated. That's the real issue. So if we're going to exercise and extend freedom of expression to our press, which we do and we should, that's a core component of any democracy, then equally, I believe the same rights and the same respect should be afforded to someone like me and others who have a different view and want to challenge that. For God's sake, after all, is the whole role of politicians and indeed the media to hold each other to account, to ensure that we're reflective of society, to ensure that we're representing the views and the wishes and the aspirations of everyone. I think that's what you and I have done. Twitter afforded me the platform to engage with you, Frank, and then you very kindly afforded me the platform via your radio show to engage with you this morning. So the notion of some kind of campaign or the notion of some kind of targeting of the press is a nonsense. Sinn Féin are smart enough, like any political party, to know that political parties need the press and they work with the press every single day. And in turn, the press get a good bit of mileage out of political parties as well.
And would you call on Sinn Féin members and Sinn Féin supporters who were on Twitter over the weekend to be more measured in their language in relation to this programme?
Frank, listen. Come here. I have Twitter is a mad place. It can be an absolutely fantastic platform for engagement, as I said. But if I spent my time trying to rein in every idiot on Twitter, I wouldn't get very much work done. So,
including the idiots in Sinn Féin.
Listen, if people are in Sinn Féin, then they should hear to the Sinn Féin's policies around social media use. So we're very, very clear around that. People should not be subjecting anyone, but I don't know, because somebody has something to do with Sinn Féin on their Twitter, that everyone's a Sinn Féin member or a Sinn Féin supporter. I don't know that that's the case. But what I'm saying very clearly is that you, me, anyone who is expressing a legitimate and an informed public opinion should not be subjected to any kind of abuse that goes beyond the realms of what is acceptable. And I would absolutely make that point to anyone and encourage anyone who is either a Sinn Féin member, because that's the only people I can have influence on, is that they should adhere to the party's strict guidelines around social media use and not be alienating people. They should be making friends via Twitter.
Okay, Niall, I appreciate your time this morning. I appreciate you coming on. Thank you for that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Senator Niall O'Donnelly from Sinn Féin, who raised the issue after I spoke on the radio last week about this great footballing debate. Your opinions are very welcome indeed. 90-333-105. 028-90-333-105. Best number to get us on. Whatever is on your mind, have your say right after this.
Listen, I rung in. No way I rang in. I've tweeted you two videos, Frank, of Northern Ireland fans and Republic fans. Now, the Euros 2 years ago, I was on the phone with you when I was there. Northern Ireland fans and Republic fans standing with tricolours and Ulster flags, standing singing. See Neil or Niall, whatever it is, on the radio for half an hour. See ordinary football fans. We don't want that. See if a guy opts to play for the Republic, that's all very well. So it is. That's good on him. So that if he thinks that he'd get a further his career down there rather than playing for Northern Ireland. But an ordinary football fan, ordinary sports fan, doesn't want Neil or Niall involved in that all over the weekend. But I watched on Twitter and I commented on it. Some of the abuse was vile and ridiculous. So it was. But as I say, see an ordinary sports, see over the weekend, Frank, I was ecstasy and agony. So it was ecstasy when I was here in Ireland on, beating Scotland, and then here in France on, beating England, and then agony yesterday when I was at the match and watched Celtic beat us. So it was, but that's your life, I suppose. So it is. But you see, to try and politicise it the way he's doing there this morning and others, so it is. It's wrong. I just leave it alone. So it is. And as I said the other day on the radio with you too, so it is. I think you were right, urging people to play for Northern Ireland. So it is, because it stifles their career. See if you go downstairs and you opt to play for the Republic. And as I said this the other day, if you're 17 or 18, you don't really know where your career is going. And you could be a championship level in England. could and playing in the Championship, good footballer, stupid and up to play for Northern Ireland. Then you're getting into the camp where international players are there. You're getting the feel of an international player. You're getting the experience of an international player. You're getting the quality that all comes with an international player. And that could further your career and take you from a Championship level, God willing, to maybe the Premiership. But if you have to play for the Republic and you don't get that experience, so you don't get the international experience, then, and you have to play for them, and you never get to put a green jersey on, then it also, you know, it does stop you moving up a level, because when you get the international level, it does help you. But there's nothing political. There's nothing about it. It's a sports fan. You're a sports fan. I'm a sports fan. I follow Clare at the GAA. I follow Ireland to rugby, and I'm a Northern Ireland fan, and I cheer the Republic on, and I cheer England on, and I cheer Scotland on if they're not playing us.
Yeah, but you are obviously a sports fan, the way you are assessing it, the way you are analysing it there. What I have discovered over the weekend is there are people who I would have thought were sports fans, because a lot of them have identified themselves on Twitter, but they will put politics before sport. It's political first, it's sport second. And I got the impression from some of them that they play sport actually to promote something political. And the commentary on Twitter over the weekend was depressing. For someone who is completely a sports fan, some of what I was reading over the weekend was incredibly depressing. It sounded to me like 1978 as opposed to 2018. Thomas has got a point. Good morning, Thomas.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
Very well, Thomas. Go ahead.
I think you've got it 100% right. It's political. And what I find funny is, now, we had an All-Ireland football team, and there's now two partitionist football teams, and you would think a Sinn Féin Irish Republican would wait until they got an All-Ireland football team again. So maybe now should get the FAI to come back to the IFA. But let's get one thing straight for now. You do not support the Republic of Ireland. You support Northern Ireland. You support Manchester City. You support Ireland rugby team, and you support the GAA team. Is it slot nil?
Well, no, I've backed them the whole way along, but I'm originally from Burn in County Down, and I support Burn and I support Down.
Well, Frank, you have every right to ask people to come. Not once did you say that people from Northern Ireland shouldn't play for the Republic of Ireland. It wasn't mentioned. It wasn't muted in any way, shape or form. You made a point of view that your football team, while it's your GAA team, your English Premiership team, your rugby team, or your international football team, that you want the best players in Northern Ireland to play for Northern Ireland. And if Niall O'Donoghue is going to come on there and say that he doesn't want people from Northern Ireland, the best football players, to play for the Republic of Ireland, he's a liar, and he's, you know what I mean, it's just a stupid point of view. And they have just turned that all into a political argument online because you wanted to support your own football team. And the fact is, they hate the fact that there's a Northern Ireland, never mind a Northern Ireland football team.
Okay, Thomas, thank you. If Niall O'Donoghue was here, I'm sure he would refute any suggestion that he ever lies. But good morning to you. 90-333-105, 077-66-105-105. I'll just remind you of what I did say on Friday that led to all this controversy. It was a conversation I was having with Stephen Beacom, who was on here as a writer, and we were talking generally about the fallout from the misunderstanding, for one of a better term, between Michael O'Neill and Martin O'Neill. And this is just a reminder of what I did say on Friday.
Paddy McCourt is a great example of someone from Derry who, you know, really gave his all for Northern Ireland and became an absolute favourite on the field of play. And Niall McGinn, Donagh Moore man, of course, both lads coming from really from GAA backgrounds too. So, you know, it's not like as if, you know, it's going to be better playing for the Republic. Trust me, lads, if you're young now, if you're 14, 15 years of age, if you've got the skills, the qualities and the abilities, and you're looking to play international football, play it for us, play it for Northern Ireland.
So that's what raised the controversy, and the amount of abuse I took on Twitter over the weekend was incredible. Going to speak to some more of you in just a mo. Let me speak to George on line one. Hello, George.
Good morning, Frank. Frank, let's just get some basic facts out here, because there's some false narratives being promoted. You, when you spoke to Niall there, you in effect have suggested that you would want the inverse of what you said to Frank is, sorry, to Niall, Frank is, that you would want the Ireland team to be all Catholic, because putting the accusation to Niall that he would want an all Protestant team for the North, the inverse of that is that you want an all Catholic team for the South.
I'm just wondering how you get that, George. How on earth do you get that out of what I said?
Because the accusation you were putting to Niall was that he wanted an all-Protestant team for Northern Ireland. Let's move to the point here, Frank, and this is the crux of this. Irish taxpayers here in the North have contributed to the Northern Ireland team, so when their children are coached and played there, they're quite entitled to make use of that. But that is not necessarily where their allegiance lies. And under the terms of the Good Friday Agreement, Frank, that you're supposed to promote when you're at work with a public interest duty, you should be promoting that parity of esteem for the dual nationality and citizenship status of the Irish citizen taxpayers who live here, who are entitled to not hear you say remarks like, not head south, and this is the crux. You made a negative statement about not head south. That is the point. You made that comment. Play the tape back.
Yeah, of course I did. Of course I did. Just one thing. Let me answer one of your accusations first of all. It's not my job. Hold on. You've made a couple of accusations. Let me reply to a couple of them. One is, it's not my job to promote the Good Friday Agreement. It's my job to discuss the Good Friday Agreement. It's my job to listen to opinion on the Good Friday Agreement. It is my job to work on topics that are related to the Good Friday Agreement. It's not my job to promote anything political whatsoever on the radio. Number two, I still don't understand the point. I still don't understand the point you made about me wanting a Catholic team for the South of Ireland. Like, that is probably the stupidest thing I've ever heard on the radio.
Because you made that very stupid reverse remark to Niall. You suggested that he might want a Protestant team for Northern Ireland. So the inverse of that is, you're suggesting that you might want, which is also is equally ridiculous.
Not at all. That's not at all, George. If you coax every young Catholic player to play for the Republic of Ireland, you're going to end up with a Protestant team. That's a fact.
It's about people giving them the choice that they actually want, Frank. If they want to go stay in the Northern Ireland team or go south, that's their choice. What you shouldn't be doing, and this is the point I come back to again, you didn't just say you support Northern Ireland. You went further and said, not head south. That, in other words, is a demeaning, derogatory remark towards the Ireland team trying to put people off going to it.
Not in the slightest, George. George, where is the national stadium? Is it in the north? Is it in the west? Is it in the east? Or is it in the south? Where is the Aviva from where you and I are standing at the moment? Is it in Donegal? If it was in Donegal, I would say don't go northwest. The National Stadium is in the Aviva. It is in the capital city of Ireland, which is Dublin. That, the last time I looked at the map, is south.
Matt, you weren't talking about geography terms. You were talking about the what you would refer to, and I might refer to as national teams. When you use that phrase, not head south. I want them to play for Northern Ireland, not head south. That's what you said. So you didn't just advocate support for Northern Ireland, you advocated not supporting the south. That isn't impartial, that's biased, and a negative bias.
George, hold on a second. I am not interested in being impartial when it comes to which football team I support. I support Northern Ireland. I can't say that more clearly. I support Northern Ireland. I want as many of the good young players who are available to us to play for us. That was the invitation I issued on Friday. I'm issuing the invitation again. I'm not saying you must play for Northern Ireland. I'm saying I, as a Northern Ireland football fan, would like you to play for Northern Ireland.
But there's two points. When you're at work, your personal views are not the same as acting in the public interest. That's one point. You, when you're in the private life, your private choices are your own. So you're not simply facilitating a debate like you were pretending there. You're expressing a preference. But in addition to that, I bring you back to the point. You weren't just supporting Northern Ireland. You were indicating that people should not head south. That is a negative term to apply against the Ireland team. And Irish taxpayers who live here in the north with dual nationality citizens rights are right to take offence.
George, I'm listening to what you're saying. I hope you don't mind me saying this back to you, but you're darn easily offended.
Frank, these are just one of umpteen instances of a cultural war that unionists are engaged in. I'm not saying that you are, but it actually very subtly contributes to it.
Okay,
Let me just say, finish on this note, Frank. I'm not saying for a second that you would be intentionally, consciously contributing to it. No way, you're a decent man. But I'm not. I would want you to be aware, language that is being used currently by political unionism all comes into the fray here.
Tell me this, George. When Mickey McGovern makes a brilliant save at Windsor Park, is he firing a shot in the cultural war on behalf of unionists?
No, I'm not talking about, I'm talking about the language outside of the game. Let's keep politics out of the game itself.
That's what I'm trying to do. That's why I'm saying, come and play for Northern Ireland, the team I support. The invitation is there. Politics would come into it if I said, you must play for Northern Ireland. That would be political. I'm simply saying, come and join us. The welcome's on the mat. Come on in. You're a fine footballer. I'd love to have you on our team.
Can we leave it at this? Do you acknowledge that you said not head south? And we'll leave it at that. Do you acknowledge that what you said?
Of course I said don't head south. Of course I did. It's a term of phrase. That's where the stadium is. It's in the south.
Well, on that note, Frank, I shall leave you to it.
All right. Okay. The most easily offended man on radio is a man called George. Let me speak to, is it Gary who's on this line? Let me see. Good morning, Gary. Good morning. Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Go ahead, fella.
I think I told you before. I was speaking to you last year, but you have the patience of a saint.
You would have to have with someone like George on, who has now found fault in the term heading south.
Yeah. I was wanting to make a point about. It never stops in this country. Catholic, Protestant, you're Catholic, you're Protestant. It never stops. There's Catholic kids and Protestant kids dying, and Catholic women and Catholic men and Protestant women and men dying because they can't get hospital treatment. The country's on its knees because of the Aegis and Stormont, and people are arguing on the radio about bloody football, whether they're Catholics or Protestants. It's a disgrace, in my opinion. There's worse things going on at the minute, and I think it's this. Disgusting and vile. This country will never change. That's all I wanted to say.
All right, fine. And if you read some of the Twitter feed over the weekend, you'd understand what that man's saying. There's such bitterness out there. Incredible bitterness. And, you know, it's not just coming from those who would be knocking me. There were people jumping in from a unionist persuasion who were saying things that are absolutely unacceptable, but they're still saying them. The bitterness that exists, it is just, you could put it on your bread. It is so thick. Let me speak to whoever's online too. Good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
Colin. I'm very well, Colin. Go ahead.
Frank, listen, I totally agree with what you're saying, and I certainly agree with the gentleman saying that, you know, of course, the situation here in Northern Ireland, you know, with the health service and everything is ridiculous. And obviously you have your programme along with Stephen Nolan and everybody else who has their programme, which is trying to put things out there. People's got to remember, you know, this country is on its knees. And the way decisions were made a few years ago, even with the Good Friday Agreement and everything else, and this dual citizenship, you know, that, you know, one morning you can wake up and you can be a British Protestant, and the next morning you wake up, you can be an Irish Catholic, because they've decided you can hold two passports. And that hasn't helped them, any of us all together whatsoever, across the sectarian divide. You know, and it's quite obvious when you look back and you see the likes of Pat Jennings and Pat Rice and Martin O'Neill and Michael O'Neill, who all were Catholics, but who all were proud to play for Northern Ireland, and who drove us, you know, into two World Cup campaigns and got us where we were under Billy Bingham and brought the whole country, the whole of Northern Ireland together. And for people now to be so divisive and saying and picking up on wee things, you know, because of Michael O'Neill stood up. And as a Catholic, he has given his opinion and spoken the truth of what he sees going on. And because the country is driven by certain aspects of, you know, politicians, that they don't like it and they don't want to see it come on their doorstep, you know, then they decided to jump on the bandwagon, just the same way as they've jumped on the bandwagon, Stephen Noonan, and trying to blame him for bringing down the... What an absolute disgrace this is. So I fully back what you're saying, and as I say, 100%, you know, people need to get on, and whatever country you're born in, that's the country that you should try your hardest to represent.
Thank you for your analysis on it. 02890 333 105. 02890 333 105. 077 66 105 105. Let's emphasise, of course, that if you are a young player born in Northern Ireland, you have the choice to play for either Northern Ireland or the Republic of Ireland. I'm just simply issuing an invitation to you. Play for the team that I support because I want to see them do well. The invitation can't be much more open or joyous than that. However, it's offended a lot of people, and you know, thank you. I'm looking at the texts and the emails as well. I'm not going to thank everyone who was on Twitter. I'll thank some of the people who were on Twitter over the weekend because they made very good points, and they made points in a, you know, in a language and terminology that you could actually broadcast or you could read out to your granny. Some people don't do that on Twitter. A lot of them hide behind anonymous names and faces, and they feel they can say what they like because they can say what they like. But I think it reflects very, very poorly on them. Right, heading towards the news at 10. Good morning. This is the Frank Mitchell phone-in. We'll have the news for you in just a moment.